Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our Maryland Crab Cake tours have taken a little bit of a hiatus, even though I have a Maryland Lottery mask and a ice-cold beverage here. We're going to be back out at Nacho Mama's trying to plan something on the 13th of January, but COVID may be getting in the way of that. But either way, we'll be getting back out and talking to John Martin, as well as many others on the Crab Cake Tour. This guy's a Crab Cake Tour veteran. He joined us up at Nick's Grandstand Grill. I almost said Fish House. Tommy would smack me if I said that, but that's old school for Cross Street. He is our insider here. We're going to let him explain to you what a chief digital officer is, but he is ours here, as well as the guy who runs Web Connection and the guy who's just evaporated on me off playing like pickleball or something the last 3 weeks during the holidays. We welcome Mike Rosenfeld back onto the program. What's up, dude? How are you, man? It feels like it's been about a year since we got together, or at least it was last
year. Yeah, it's been a while. I actually took a vacation before all this Omicron craziness happened, because I knew if I didn't get away then, I wasn't going to get away at all. But yeah, it's been a little while. It's good to speak to you again.
I feel trapped. I mean, I went through this with Bill Cole. Like, I'm like, all right, so we're going into the third year of this. Well, there's a game. It might happen. It might not happen. The team quarterback might play, might not play. There's an Eagles concert next month. I have a flight. I probably am not going. I have a week planned at the Super Bowl, which is something I did for 27 straight years until last year I didn't. And I'm supposed to go to LA. And the notion that I'm going to be there in a ballroom with people, like talking to celebrities, I don't think that's going to happen in 5 weeks, Mike. I have a vibe about that. So I think we're back at that point where, like, the Pearl Jam tickets that are on my app that I've been sitting on for 2 years, real life's getting in the way again, isn't it? It's that winter again. We're into year number three of this war we're having with a virus.
That's crazy. I had a call with a small group of other business leaders that I've been in for quite some time. You know, a lot of the players, and we were talking about just 2021 and our reflection. And my statement was just how we adapted. I mean, we had to adapt. I mean, 2020 was a shocker, and 2021 was like, okay, well, how do we deal with this? And when you think you're ready to deal with it, you know, this Omicron thing happens and everyone freaks out again. So it's just a crazy human experience that we're all going through. And it's just, you know, interesting to watch.
Well, you see everybody freaks out again, right? Like, and I'm like, I remember the original freak out, right? And then there's the, all right, we went to the beach that summer, and then I came back and started Baltimore Positive, and then, like, I did 30 crab cakes in 30. I mean, I went all over the state. So, I mean, we had some freedom, right? Like, I went to Meriwether a bunch over the summer. I saw the Stones. I traveled, you know? I haven't caught it yet. I am starting to get a little weird because I'm getting my third shot in 48 hours. So the last 2 weeks, when you're like, everybody's freaking out, I think the thing that's happened the last 2 weeks is everybody knows people that have it now. Like, this wasn't, the freak out was in our minds 2 years ago. This is sort of the real deal now. When the Maryland Hospital Association, I saw the week before New Year's, they're beating up the governor, and then the governor has to come out with his tail between his legs. And the hospitals being full is something we should all be concerned about.
Well, look, for 2 years, two years, my family has dodged the Roni, but I will tell you that with this last thing, literally two doors away from me in my home office, the Roni's in my house. My oldest son has it. He was in with his girlfriend in Chicago. She had it. He did not. He was sleeping on the sofa. He's like, this is unsustainable. I have to, it's not fair to her to stay in a one bedroom apartment in the bedroom. It's not reasonable for me to sleep for a week to 2 weeks on the sofa. I'm coming home. And 2 days after he came home, he tested positive. So the rest of us in our house have avoided it. And, you know, he's got very mild symptoms. And to be honest with you, there's
very
a part
mild
of me.
Mean.
And,
does that mean scratchy throat? Does he food taste and fall like?
I would say it's a very sore throat, but that's it. And when you think about, you know, people in the hospital and all that, a very sore throat is something you'll take knowing that you've gone through it and you're on the other side, which he is.
My mother was a hypochondriac, right? So, like, you know, there's all this part where I wake up every morning and, you know, I got a little phlegm, little, you know, something. Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, no, not me. You know, right. But I'm like a freak, dude. Like, I haven't hugged anybody. I elbow. I piss people off because they want to come. I'm nasty. Hold on. Elbow up. Homie ain't playing that. You know what I mean? And especially not now. Like, I would have been much more inclined in the summer, outdoor. I probably did hug some people. I probably didn't shake your hand when we were together 8 weeks ago because I've just given that up for now. You know, I'll get intimate with my friends and hug and do all that when it's safe for all of us to do that. And I think the winter represents something different that the scientists told us about 2 years ago, that for the people that don't listen to scientists, God bless them. They're the people that are dying from all of this. But the indoor part of this and the part that Thanksgiving, we all get together and hug and eat pumpkin pie. My kid and his wife, all of their friends had it 2 weeks ago, and they traced it back to they were at a Ravens tailgate together. And I'm like, let me get this straight. You're 2 years into this. You know this thing's real, and you're double dipping your celery sticks and blue cheese. I mean, like, so it really is about public gathering. It really is about family and love and Hanukkah and Christmas and Kwanzaa and New Year's and like all of these football games, these things that we get back to doing, that moving indoor and doing them clearly ripe for the virus, right? Like that's part and parcel of it. Should come as, it wouldn't come as any shock to anybody that follows this, that a bunch of people getting together and doing family stuff for 6 weeks, and that on the back end of this, there would be something bad.
Well, look, I don't think we've ever discussed this, but my son who has it, avoided it. He lived in Chicago. And you, if you follow this, you know, Chicago's had major peaks, and he avoided it for the whole 2 years and up until this Omicron wave. But he invented the term the Roni. And then I took the Roni and I created the term Roni Rigid, which in the very beginning is the people who wash their groceries that they had delivered to their house. That's Roni Rigid.
Okay. Yeah, we did that.
In the beginning, we did that.
We haven't done that lately because it's we follow the science. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And then during the same period, there was Roni Casual. And those are the people in the very beginning who said, I'm going to live my life and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And we were definitely not that. And I've seen an evolution of myself going from pretty much Roni Rigid to something that I now call Roni Medium, which is I'm going to live, but I'm going to be smart and I'm going to mitigate my risk. I've been on countless flights. We have family in Florida. I feel very safe on an airplane and I've avoided it, knocking on wood, up to this point. I think the calculation is, and I thought this through when my son had it, and I heard that the Omicron symptoms were very subtle. I was like considering just getting it, and only because I wanted maybe the potential three months of maximum coverage that you get from having your own natural antibodies. But I said, if it happens, it happens. I wasn't getting in his face and saying, breathe on me. But if it happened, I was also off for a week. So I figured if I get it, I'd rather it be during this downtime where it's not going to affect my business and my ability to do things. So,
well, I planned my shot, right? And then I couldn't get the shot. You know, my whole idea was like, I'm going to do this right around New Year's, you know, long weekend. Hey, and then I went out to get a shot and they're like, sign up on January the 7th or whatever. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, like I haven't gotten my third. Have you gotten your third booster?
I did. And a bit of actually very close to when you were able to get your booster. So I've had that for some time. So
I'm going to feel better after my third booster. But even then, I just have lived my life differently than my, like I, when you say rigid, I have squirt in my car that when I come back to my car, wherever I am and I've touched stuff, I rinse my hands. I had a wife who spent 155 nights in a cancer ward. I'm a different cat at this point. You think I'm like putting the mask on, smelling my coffee breath at 6 a.m. My wife's on, you know, hanging out at the hospital on day 28. I did that. And I wore a mask all day, every day. And I got zits from it. All the stuff that the doctors and the nurses have dealt with. But the thing that's really pissed me off lately is the disregard for the science and now the consequences. And I went into this with Bill Cole earlier this week, and I'll do some sports, and it's Big Ben, and it's a new year, and I'm Baltimore positive, and BAL's got the Orioles again, and but the consequences as Americans, we don't like consequences, dude, right? I mean, like, just on a real level, we like to do what we want and F you and things are fine and I'll be okay and we live free and all that. This last 2 years, as we're on the backside of the insurrection a year, you know, into this, what a complicated thing. But the one thing that I would say is the consequences of not having vaccinations, of not stamping out the virus, the consequences are we're still wearing masks. And this is the scientists would have told us this is the way it was going to go. If this is the way you're going to behave during a plague, these are going to be the consequences. You're still going to have a mask 3 years later.
Well, so bring it back to sports. The son who's here now was on his way to Florida. He graduated Michigan, and he was considering going to the bowl game. And instead, he did the responsible thing. He came home. He isolated. Then he got it, and he stayed home. He's still here. He's going to Florida now on Friday because it's been 14 days, and that's well beyond the CDC recommendations. But at the same time, my wife shows me a friend of hers husband who had the virus, tested positive, and was at the game. No mask, in a crowd, knowing that he had the virus.
This is why I wear a mask, and this is why I don't go around people. You know what I mean? Like that would be the, if people are going to misbehave, we're not going to go there. We're not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to your unmasked party. I told a story a couple weeks ago, and you know, and I'll gladly, you know, I'll have them on at some point. My dear departed friend Ted Venatoulis, he left us a couple months ago. We've talked a lot about him here. He left his legacy with the journalism think tank and the group from the Baltimore Banner, and they had a party, and they had it a couple weeks before Christmas, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks before Christmas. My wife was gone, maybe like the 10th. So it was a holiday kind of thing, but more of a get-together. And there were some significant people there. You know, I'm not going to name drop, but it was a small room of people, maybe 100 people in the little restaurant over where the museum, the Visual Arts Museum. Mm-hmm. It's been a Latin restaurant for many times, right in my neighborhood. And it was the one time during the plague that I walked into a room, nobody was wearing a mask, and I didn't wear a mask, and it felt like unprotected sex when you were 16, right? And mm-hmm. I was a parent at 15, so I know about this. So I speak of, consequences. Mm-hmm. 37 years later, my son's a beautiful consequence of that. But nonetheless, I went into a room for an hour, and I walked out of there, and I know the Omicron was happening about a month ago, and I'm thinking, they planned this party in October when things were cool. They planned a room and they wanted to have people and they wanted to make it intimate because that's the way you want to make parties. And then when we got there, it was like food was out, servers were masked, no one in the room was masked. It was clearly not safe. It's not something I would do tonight. It's not something I'm bragging about, but it's something about like the vibe was right. You're there. Felt like, hey, it's holidays, eggnog, you know, all of that. And I'm thinking to myself, I isolated after that for a couple days. I'm like, you know what? I probably shouldn't have done that. And it was the one time I sort of went into an environment. And I think it's a fatigue issue, Mike, right? I mean, more than anything, it's just we all want to do something normal. And it's starting to slip away, those Merryweather nights and those things we did in the summer that were safe and we didn't wear a mask. And my crab cake tour, we were outside a lot. But you know, if we went into a place to go to the bathroom, into Royal Farms on the Eastern Shore, no one's wearing a mask over there in August. We did, though, because my wife, so there is the point where, like, to your point, I could have been the only guy in the room wearing a mask. There were a couple people at that banner thing that did keep their masks on, and I'm wondering psychologically, I know better. You know what I mean? I know better, and I let my guard down. I didn't get sick, thankfully, but I'm not. That's not going to happen again. That was my little lesson.
Well, I'm at the stage where I'm like. So you said you let your guard down, and psychologically, I mean, I love to just kind of watch people, how people behave. And if you look at the U.S., you know, the land of the free, and my rights to do this and my rights to do that, and is a direct conflict with saying, hey, in order to get in this restaurant, you have to have a vaccine, you have to do this, you have to do that.
And clarify? They stripped me down when I went into that party to make sure I had a card. I had to show my vax card. It didn't matter. You know what I mean? To me, that's great. Now put a mask on too, probably, right? Right. Probably, definitely. Like that's, right. I want to go back and like, it's like unprotected sex. Probably was a bit, no, probably wasn't a great idea, right? So like all the way through this, you'd say, all right, I look back and say I shouldn't have, but they were checking cards and all that. So I don't want to be disrespectful to the banner people, because it's true. Like, they did what the CDC would have said at that time, but it still wasn't enough, because we can give it to each other. And plenty of people have transmitted it that have been triple vaxxed, right? Literally, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't feel like you could go around your kid just because you had a vaccine. You didn't want to get it, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, we have plans with a couple this weekend. Over the summer, we went from the, we can only eat outside to, we'll go inside a restaurant, we'll wear a mask, we'll sit at a table, we'll be distanced from people. But I'm not feeling that right now. The other couple was, but we canceled. They were respectful. They totally understood it. But, you know, I'm at a stage where I'm just like, I got to analyze risk, and I got to figure out how much. And you said it to your point. If I had a immune compromised person in my house, my behavior would be so different. One of my closest friends, their daughter has Crohn's and colitis. That's an issue, you know. So I'm very sensitive about when I make plans with them. And, you know, it's been 7 days before I've been anywhere. And, you know, so everyone's just got to make their own call. The one thing I wish, if I had a magic wand and could wave it, is just everyone, whether you choose to get vaccinated or you choose to not get vaccinated, at least would be community oriented and say, okay, I chose not to get vaccinated, but I don't feel well and I'm not going into work. You know, like, I wish those synapses would go off.
Or I'm not vaccinated, but I'll put a mask on because I'm not vaccinated. It doesn't work that way. If you're unvaccinated,
you're also probably
anti-mask. You don't
even care
about yourself, let alone other people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I walked out of the Ravens game the other night, and I'm an anti-smoking guy, right? Like, so, you know, like, I'm on the record with all that. I got crossway with Ehrlich 20 years ago when I came back from Florida and New York and places that were adopting no smoking in bars. And I walked out of the Ravens game, and I left when the crowd left, because Harbaugh did a Zoom thing. There was no lock. You know, there's some sort of like, all right, I'm done. They've lost 5 in a row. I'm going to walk home with my wife, because it was our last game together that we're going to. So we walked home together, which I've never done. Like, literally never walked out of a Ravens game with fans in my life. I'm always in the locker room. I'm always there an hour after the game. You know, I always see the taillights, but I never leave when the throng leaves. But I left when the throng left. And I was just blown away by how many people were just pulling out cancer sticks, blowing their vapor everywhere. And I'm thinking, I can smell your cigarette. That probably means I can smell your breath. And I'm thinking to myself, like, go over there. Like, just your like blood, like, I'm thinking to myself, my God. I mean, I know we're outside and all, but we're in like a tight space. Go have a cancer stick over there. I just thought about, like, oh, that's the person that, like, the hug, the handshake, the mask, the anti-vax, the people that are flying against the grain, not just of the science, but of just being a good citizen. You know, just being a good citizen, being a good human, to not infringe upon other people. Don't I have the right to fresh air walking behind you? Have I not earned that? But you know, that's sort of endemic of the whole culture of, I'll do what I want. And when you do what you want, I'm going to keep, it's my 2022 is consequences year. When you do what you want, this is the garden we have to play in. We don't get, you know, you take the eggnog away. We get to lose all the fun, you know?
Right. Well, there's no question. If those who felt strongly about getting vaccinated and wearing masks, and by the way, I always like to say this, I don't know anyone who's got vaccinated, triple vaxxed, who likes to wear a mask. I don't know anyone in the world who likes to wear a mask. So I just want to dispel the myth that people who are cautious enjoy the mask. We all hate it, whether you are anti-vax or vax. But if everyone who was vaccinated had their way, then the situation in this country would be totally different as it relates to the spread and having people be vulnerable. If everyone had their way that was anti-vax, the situation in this country would look totally different also.
It would be like War of the Worlds. Yeah, like, I mean, dude, when Larry Hogan's calling a press conference to start the year And look, man, I've had him on the show, and I don't agree with him, and I could probably sit and argue a lot of stuff and listen to his bullshit. But to be really honest, like, to have a press conference and then say, well, it's still your option whether you want to wear a mask or not. Dude, leadership, hello, not getting it, Uncle Larry. That's the reason we're 2 years into this, is you know, people do what they want. And we say, well, we can't enforce it. How about if you just strongly recommend it? How about if you tell people why you recommend it? And the real reason now is, do you have anybody in your life that's a doctor or a nurse or vulnerable? And if you care about them 2 years into this, this isn't a hoax. This isn't, right. but when people are, and this probably speaks to digital, it probably speaks to Zuckerberg and probably speaks to Facebook and where people get their information. Dude, I've had an FCC license for 23 years. I pay a lot of money for it, keep a tower up. I really thought, honest to God, Mike, like in my heart of hearts, I really believe when I purchased it, that if I went on this airwaves and said stupid shit, like don't get a vaccine, that they would take my license away. Like, you know what I mean? Like stuff that thought that's why we, I don't say free speech and the free internet. This is the part of the freedom of our society that I think Orwell understood, but some other people didn't.
Well, look, I just want to make one thing clear. I think that if we are to maintain who we are as a country, then people do have the right to do within the law to exercise how they're going to live. I also feel like private companies, like insurance companies, can say, if you're not double vaccinated, or if you're not triple vaccinated, or you've not gotten the vaccine at all, your insurance premiums are going to go up 33% as a consequence of that. You can live your life any way you want, but as an insurance company, and believe me,
hey,
I have no love.
You can drive however fast you want until the police get behind you.
I have no love for insurance companies, but if someone has to pay money, excessive premium, because they're choosing not to do something that's in the best interest of society and themselves, and it costs the insurance company more money, let them pay.
The insurance company would call that a consequence.
It's a consequence, and which is your theme for 2022, right? And the thing that really bothers me is my wife's in healthcare, and you know, a lot of surgical procedures are being delayed because they don't have room for them in the hospitals because the people who choose not to get vaccinated are taking up their space. Now, I don't see any way in which the hospital could say, we're going to put you at the bottom of the list if you've not been vaccinated and you've gotten the virus, because we have to take care of people who are taking care of themselves. That would never happen. But that's a little disappointing. The rise in breast cancer and colon cancer, because people aren't getting their colonoscopies and they're not getting their breast exams because there's a backlog and or they are uncomfortable getting tested, or they're uncomfortable going into a hospital, and all the casualties that are happening as a result of this to people who are trying to do what's best for themselves and society. That's disappointing. So I wish there was some consequence associated with that, but I don't want to unduly punish people who are exercising the right not to do what I've chosen to do. But I also feel like, you know, if you're making that choice, like you said, you know, you drive a red Corvette, your insurance premiums are going to go up because you've made a choice to be aggressive or potentially reckless. If you're a scuba diver, if you jump out of an airplane and you've made those decisions, God bless you, live your life. But there's consequences, 2022's mantra, to that. And I don't know, that's part of what, you know, private companies and restaurants are saying, hey, you're not vaccinated, you're not able to come in here. That's a consequence and that's a choice. And, you know, I do know that slowly still people are getting their first shots, because probably the consequences are so dire that they're like, screw it, I tried to fight this battle, but I'm willing. But there's people who will never get theirs, and it is what it is. It is what it is.
Mike Rosenfeld is here. He is our partner at the Web Connection, also our chief digital officer. We get together and rap a couple times a month and talk about things and the consequences tour and all that. Anything you got on football or sports in general? I mean, most of my friendships, most of my relationships come to me through sports and through the Ravens. I know you've been I was on Gary Vaynerchuk's show 2 weeks ago, by the way. So you talk about NFTs. You and I were talking about non-fungible tokens. I've learned what an NFT is. I know I don't want one, even if it is a goat on the internet. And little pixels. Just the sports side of things and college football championships and basketball games that aren't happening, and not to mention rec leagues and kids in winter and all the stuff like this. Baseball's on strike. You have three cheers for BAL to get a baseball team. It's not playing right now, so you know, God bless them. But, man, football's the thing we've all hung on, and we're 8-3, and then – it's all over with, right? Like, that was kind of the to go back in the basement and have the football season just end on Thanksgiving was a little weird this year.
It is. So my thing is, my passions are the Ravens, the Terps basketball, and Oriole baseball. And, you know, typically if the Ravens have a subpar year or they exit, in the playoffs or whatever, I can always transition nice and easy to Maryland basketball, but this year is not looking so hot. So if Maryland basketball is not looking so hot under, 20 years ago, I would have the luxury of saying, okay, well, spring training is just around the corner and I have a Oriole season to look forward to. But unfortunately, the Terps are not playing so hot. They're in a coaching search. So that should be interesting to watch how that goes. And I don't know that there's going to be baseball. I read just yesterday Max Scherzer's disappointment in teams that go into the season knowing that they're going to tank. And the article
was Goodell's firing Rosenthal, by the way, too. Not Goodell, Manfred. Freudian. You know,
and that's because apparently he criticized him. Yeah, is my understanding of how that happened.
Well, you know, I was Ken Rosenthal's assistant in 1986. I mean, I've known Kenny my whole life. I met Kenny at the Spectrum. He was covering the Philadelphia Flyers in March of '86, and my boss sent me up there and said, hey, there's a young guy who works at the Camden newspaper up there. He's going to say hello. Make sure you see him. And Ken comes up to me. He was one guy in the world shorter than me, and Tim Kirchin. And I met Ken, and like a week later, Jack said, he's going to be our new Orioles beat writer, replacing or helping Jim Henneman at the time, because Jim was on his way to the – and Ken Rosenthal, 35 years later – this is where we are, that when the commissioner of baseball in the middle of this is why baseball is like unwatchable, right? Like firing a guy for having an educated opinion 40 years into this, they don't want any of that. I mean, Major League Baseball doesn't have names of players on their website right now. Like, this is how lawyers decide they're going to fight, and Rob Manfred can't unlawyer himself from the situation, and there's nobody there to save them. Apparently they have no PR people at Major League Baseball. They just have lawyers, apparently.
Well, you know more than me, the problem I see with baseball, short of like teams like the Rays, which, you know, go through horrendous, you know, dips of 3 years, but then they trade, you know, they have a low payroll as many teams. But what is the justification for baseball not having a salary cap? How can a team like Tampa Bay compete with the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Mets, and the big markets? I know that they put a luxury tax in that would hopefully fix that, and I don't know.
And everybody just played it like lawyers do, and they skirted around it. It's like this: we're not going to bring Rutschman up to start his clock. You know, all of these things that have really wrecked the game. I mean, I say this 30 years into this, dude. You're talking about stuff that in the 1990s, I was the guy on the radio in 1994 in the middle of the strike when Joe Smith's playing for the Terps. I was 3 years into my career wondering whether I was going to have a career. We were never going to get a football team here, if you remember that, right? This was the era where Charlotte, Jacksonville, all of that. And now the baseball goes on strike, And I was the guy on the radio that we're going to, you know, Angelos was going to, we're not playing, we're not fielding replacement, all that, Ripken streak, like, and I'm thinking to myself, if you really want people to ever care about this, you can't have and have nots. Like, that was always the part where football was getting it right even then. And all of this American red-blooded freedom, free market, capitalism, all of that was, you know, caveat emptor, you know, let's just all, we'll buy baseball players for $90 million and their arms will fall off. And we'll have Peter Angelos make billions of dollars while the team is in decay. And I had said all along, like, how is anybody going to compete with the Yankees? How is that long term? How is that going to happen? And they just gaslight the shit out of you, dude. If you talk to Manfred, Manfred would have something about how 28 of the 30 teams have made the playoffs over the last 4 years, and we've had small market teams win. And look at Tampa. That's all they say. And now they've gotten the fans. And then of what's left of them, and this is when I get Nasty Nestor on me 30 years in, so I can't sit and talk to sports fans all day. They'll have people calling in. Well, I guess it was the fan last week. It'll be BAL next week because it's a different flagship now where you're allowed to criticize the team. Ken Rosenthal can call the fan now. He can't call BAL anymore. That the fans buy into this Stockholm syndrome. You know, Nasty, this is the way you have to do it. You have to stink for 5 years, and then you get good like the Astros. I read Astro Ball, and that's the way they're doing it here. We're just going to get great again because the BAL guy, Kerry Behagen over BAL, says we're going to be a contender again on WBAL. So we're coming back now. We're just going to all be good again. No, dude, you've sucked for 5 years. Your coffee's terrible. No one wants it. No one drinks it. No one goes. You've lost 107, 112 games. You almost lost 100 games in a year they even play, right? So this notion that the fans are okay with all the losing because there's going to be the pot of gold on the other side of them hills, that's what they've sold these baseball fans. That's what Oriole fans have been led to believe for 5 years. I mean, Mueller comes on here, and it's just – you would think they didn't lose 107 games last year. Like, it's amazing to me that they have a group of people bought in on we're going to eat cold soup and call it gazpacho, you know, until such point where they bring us warm soup.
Yeah, I mean, look, the it's the cards we're dealt. We're not going to change the world. So half of me is like, look, if you suck for 5 years, if you do it the Rays way, which is, you know, going in that this is the cards you're dealt. But if you have a smart front office and you have leadership, which is why I've always looked personally at the Ravens differently than the Orioles, because I think at the very top, you know, more than me, you have these relationships. I don't. But from an outside perspective, I think that the ownership and leadership of the Ravens is more respected in their league than the Orioles is by far. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, if you suck for 5 years, you grow your farm system, you compete for 2 or 3 years, you sell off your players because you have no choice because that's the cards you're dealt.
And you don't buy a Max Scherzer along the way because you would never want to spend $200 million, and you don't even spend it on your own guy when you have Machado, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, and then you say,
oh, you
okay.
You don't want Adam Jones over $1 million at the end. Let him go play in Japan and discover, you know, Kobe beef, which he's now discovered on the internet. It looks delicious. Thank you, Adam. Right. Audie sends him over. But, yeah, I mean, what they've done here is they've destroyed the franchise while the Nationals have won the World Series, and they've printed money. There's been no consequence to the stadium being empty, other than if you're the guy selling the Southwest Airlines ads or the Wise Markets ads, that there's nothing to sell. And I had Marty Conway on this week about that. They literally don't have a business right now, Mike. And even when the old man was, before he was eating pudding, he wouldn't put the tickets on sale till March. They like they're not even an entity. And I don't even know that the fans should feel bad about losing the rights. Like, I think they're having a party over there at Odyssey.
Yeah, I mean, that's my biggest fear. I've heard you from time to time say, you know, they may move or they may this. I mean, if the Orioles leave town, I mean, just a psychological punch to the gut. I think I'd rather have a crappy 100-loss team than no team at all. And frankly, my hope is that either the kids, and you know this once again, are, you know, will run it better or have to sell it or choose to sell it.
Now you're hallucinating. Now I got to go nasty Nestor on you. I love you. But they're 55 years old. If they were going to create something, it would be created by now. They've had their fingers into the team for 30 years. They've basically run it the last 10. I mean, daddy's gone, and who's running the team? They just did a flagship deal with WBAL, and the owner didn't show up to even announce it. I mean, like, they're brain dead. I mean, God bless them. God bless BAL and TJ Brightman putting games on that nobody's going to listen to. But until they start treating people better, it goes back to the consequences of the way they've run the organization for years. And the sad part of this, Mike, and this is, I guess this begins all this, right? Roethlisberger's coming in and it's going to be over and then it's going to be off season. And we're really only going to care what the Ravens do anyway. I mean, like, you know what I mean? When the Orioles can't win and they might not even play, but they've given the Ravens the playing field of March and April and May. Because I know one thing, the Ravens are going to play next year. They'll play even if there's a plague. Oh, right. There is a plague. They play through plagues. NFL, right?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the dose of reality. I do. It's the only thing I was thinking.
I don't think they're leaving, by the way, because everybody smart tells me that someone would come in with a cape to save it, right? But if the kids were really sharp, and I know the one's a lawyer, they were really sharp, they would get a whole bunch of money down in Nashville and just pull the team out and say, F, you were taking it. And then you have that what Al Davis did, the Al Davis playbook, or even the Stan Kroenke playbook to some degree. After saw the Rams here this week, and all I could think about was those people in St. Louis, and now they just completely got screwed. And they got $900 million that who knows, the lawyers sold them out in the end. Even after the team was left, the city got screwed by its own lawyers who just wanted their $300 million. Do we cheat them and how and roll out? That there's no dignity for them. But for the kids that own the team, Nashville's going to have a baseball team at some point. And whether Baltimore has one or doesn't have it is going to depend on whether people come and support it. It's as simple as that. You know, like literally, it can't sit here dormant and vacant forever. I mean, even Tampa Bay's talking about moving to Montreal, right? Like, so it can only sit empty and be soulless for so long before there's a consequence to that. And the consequence, I remember as a lad watching the Indianapolis Colts run around for not going to the games, right? And that's the way that worked out. I don't know that that's the way that works out for the Orioles because everybody tells me they'll be saved and Major League Baseball would never allow that. Yeah, all right, great. But that doesn't make the team any better. And it doesn't make them better run either.
No, I mean, I hold out hope. I don't know how often it happens, but I know in the past, the patriarch passes and the kids, because of whether it's estate taxes or whatever, are like, you know what? Let's just flip this team. Let's cash out. Let's get out of here. And you never know who's on the other side. If that person's going to be a better owner, look at I don't know. I mean, the Browns appear to be, Cleveland appears to be run better under, you know, different ownership, who knows, but that would be the only hope I would have to break this cycle of just someone coming in, and being a better leader, a better executive, and turning the culture around.
That's if you want to have a fun one, listen to me and Marty Conway throw it around about the end of the Steve Bisciotti era this week, because we're closer to that than you think too. You know, we've had a really stable, even if awful with baseball, right? Oh, we've had 30 years of Peter. We've had 20 years of Steve, give or take now, you know, going on that. And there's going to be change on the other side of COVID for all these industries, for our city in ways that, as your partner Bill Cole said to me earlier, ways we can't comprehend what's going to happen on the other end of this. Mike Rosenfeld can comprehend one thing, how to manage your digital platforms, and every business has it. Mike, I found this out just in my own travels here recently, and I've known you so long, and I've got my Baltimore Positive thing, and you helped me with that. But how important every restaurant's website is, especially now we go into third winter, where when Jen and I went to Beaumont the other night, we carried out on New Year's Eve, and, you know, and we're carrying out, we're curbsiding again. I curbsided from Nacho Mama's last week in Towson. I brought some quesadillas home. So I would just say, if your website, if I can click and place order and make it happen, and that for businesses, the web is the lifeblood right now. And people like you have been on this from the beginning, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Look, I mentioned earlier the group of CEOs that I'm a member of, and we were talking, and I shared my frustration, because being an outsourced chief digital officer is like, when I say that and people who are listening to this are glazing over and saying, what the hell does that mean? To summarize, it's if you are a small to mid-sized business who recognizes that you should be performing better with a website, with social media, with email marketing, with online marketing, you know your competitors are doing it, but you're just stuck in quicksand because you're paralyzed to do anything about it. Those are the clients that I work with. And unfortunately, most people just undervalue or are too stubborn to admit that they don't understand it, and are losing out on business opportunities because of it. So the only people that make sense that I work with are people who are pissed off, frustrated or competitive, that their competitors are killing them online. They don't know how to compete, and they need someone to guide them and help them. And that's what I do. And I appreciate, Nestor, you're allowing me access to learn your business and to guide you.
Hey, when I figure my business out, I'll let you know. How about that?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, you know, working with other entrepreneurs and helping focus and having another entrepreneur like me kind of listen, there's some value there for my client, and there's value for me. I'm always learning from my client. So it's a great setup.
All right. We'll talk about our real business later in the day. Mike Rosenfeld here. You can find him at Web Connection. He's on the front of Baltimore Positive as well. One of our friends and insiders and huge sports fan. I mean, goes without saying, you love the Ravens, the Orioles, the Terps. When you said that, I'm like, oh, you're like all of us. Yeah. You like the Orioles, Ravens. And I think it is tough to talk about the Orioles when they're on strike, when they're trying to make noise going to BAL, and when the football season's ending. There really is a little like, well, you know, yeah. when if Roethlisberger goes out and they carry him off the field, it's going to be, but then there's the, hey, we have DeCosta, Harbaugh, these guys know what they're doing. They'll draft, they'll get healthier, they'll figure it out. It just was a disappointing year. And, you know, I don't need the quarterback benched or not signed or the coach fired or any of that stuff. But I do think from a body clock for guys our age, these things used to be much more seamless from one to the other back before the plague. And now that we're 3 years into the plague and you're not hitting me saying, hey, let's go see the Terps play Wake Forest on Tuesday night. Right. Like that isn't happening right now. It does suck on the sports side. You know what I mean? When we're going to be watching the Bengals play in the playoffs, you know what I mean? Look, the Patriots again, for crying out loud.
Look, in a great year, if you do Terps, Ravens and Orioles, if you can have 2/3 of them being relevant towards the end of the season, you've had a good year. When you have 1/3 of them, it's okay. And the Ravens still have a 2%, 3% chance to make the playoffs. So they've kept us interested. Now, imagine being a Detroit Lions fan. My wife's from Detroit, and every October knowing your season's over. You know, and then you have to transition, you know, I think the Red Wings are playing a little better, but they've been down a couple of years, and the Pistons have been down a couple of years.
All you guys, man, Schuller's wife is a Browns fan. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of suffering. Detroit, Cleveland, these places, you know, Cincinnati. And I know this, and you know this intellectually, they haven't won a playoff game in 32 years. Like, I have Marvin Lewis is my next guest on the show, by the way. So I'll wind up discussing that with Marv from out in the desert where he's healing up as well. But Cincinnati, you talk about starving. Marvin sent me a Bengals turtleneck, really nice, like $120 job that really keep, like a ski one that on the coldest day you put it on, it's insulated. And he sent it to me when the Ravens were no good the year that Flacco got hurt, Jen was in the hospital, and it was the game where Burfict They won the game, but they lost the game, right? You remember that? Yep. And I was wearing that sweatshirt to support the Bengals against the Steelers, you know? But it's orange, and it has a B on it. So I keep telling people it's like the Orioles, you know? But I might break that back out 2 weeks from now, especially if they're playing like the Patriots or something. Because I, you know, I got to pull for somebody. I mean, who am I pulling for now?
Right.
Belichick?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I don't sweat the Bengals. Let them win, you know?
Look, the talk in my house is, what do the Ravens need to do to get a third or fourth place schedule next year? You know, I mean, they really got a combination of events that really affected them. I do expect them to come back, hopefully healthy, next year and be able to compete. And if we are able to get a third or fourth schedule, that would be great. Hey, look, I know we're winding up. The theme is consequences. And I think a poor consequence to Marvin Lewis is to have to follow a Mike Rosenfeld interview. I mean, that's just unfortunate for him to have to.
Marvin is an everyman. Marvin is a man of the people. So we have Marvin Lewis on this week. Ed Bruschetta joining us from Pittsburgh as well. Had some great conversations. Tim Wendell, a great baseball, longtime insider, written a lot of novels about baseball and stories. Marty Conway doing sports business. I'm back on the grid, Rosenfeld. I'm back. It's 2022. I'm ready. I got action. BAL's got the Orioles. It's time to go compete. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.